Okay. Welcome back, everybody. We're going to sing It Is Well With My Soul first, which is number 321 in the room, and then 468 in the Sweet By and By. They're both in the room. Okay. So first was Is Well My Soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Somebody's going to have to sit there a little so that during the music or something.
Number 468 in the Sweet By and By.
For the Father waits over the way.
Someone's going to do a children's story. Oh, Donna's going to do it? Okie dokie. Hold on, let me turn off the mic.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Sabbath blessings. Today our story is called Saved from the Storm. The evening had been so warm and sultry that everyone was hot and tired. So was little Jessie, and when Mother told her to go to bed, she was actually glad to go. But when the light was put out, she was just a little bit afraid, for from afar in the distance came the long rolling of thunder. And now, when the whole room was lighted up with bright flashes of lightning, Jessie didn't like storms, so she shut her eyes tight and said a little prayer, asking Jesus to take care of her. Then the rain came, down and down it came, and while it was raining, little Jessie went to sleep. How long she slept, she didn't know. It seemed like a minute, though it must have been hours. Then something woke her, something startling and terrifying. It was Mother's voice, and she was frightened. "Jessie, Jessie, quick, wake up," Mother was saying. As Jessie awoke, she heard another sound, the most dreadful sound she had heard in all her life. It was a terrible roaring, like one great peal of thunder that would not stop. Jessie was very much frightened now. "Oh, Mama, Mama, what's the matter? What is it?" she cried. "It's a tornado, and it's right upon us," said Mother. "We must pray, darling. I'll wake Daddy and get him to pray, too." Daddy awoke with a start and jumped out of bed. He guessed at once what was wrong. He knelt down by the bed, Mother on one side of Jessie, Daddy on the other. Their arms crossed over the little girl's head as though to protect her from danger. By this time, the fearful roaring seemed right overhead, and there were other sounds now, as of windows being shattered and things being torn to pieces. "Dear Jesus, please take care of us," one of them began. Crash! There was a terrific noise at the house next door, was smashed by the fury of the wind. "Dear Jesus, please don't let the storm..." Crash! Another awful sound that the house on the other side had gone now. "Oh, Jesus, help! Save us! Please save us." So they prayed, while all the time those loving, sheltering arms were close over Jessie's head. And above those arms were other arms, stronger and yet more loving, the everlasting arms of God. When the storm had passed, the light of morning revealed a scene of awful desolation, with trees uprooted and the wreckage of houses strewn all around. For a block and a half, every building had been smashed, with one exception: the house where Jessie, Mother, and Daddy had prayed. Today another storm is raging in this old world. Mother and Daddy are worried about it, and maybe they have already told you how serious it is. Perhaps you have read about it in the newspapers or listened to someone talking about it over the radio or TV. In some ways, it is worse than a tornado, for as it roars over nation after nation, it is leaving behind a terrible trail of ruin and sorrow. It is making many people homeless and poor and very, very sad. In many countries, millions have lost almost everything they possess as the hurricane of war has struck them. It is enough to frighten anyone, but if we love Jesus, we need not be afraid, for we can hear his lovely voice speaking words of comfort and cheer. Even now, he seems to be saying to us, "Fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, how he says it over and over again. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Isaiah 43:1. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32. He doesn't want us to be afraid. Rather, he wants us to trust him always, with all our hearts, no matter what happens. He would have us keep calm and confident, believing that in his own good time, he will cause the right to triumph and peace to prevail. Then he whispers to us these precious promises. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Psalm 91:1-10. Underneath are the everlasting arms, he assures us, arms of love, sheltering love under us and over us always. Just like the arms that sheltered little Jesse. As the storm comes nearer, Jesus will not forget his promises. And let us not forget to pray and keep on praying till the skies are clear again. Then one day the storm will pass. Peace will come again, glorious, eternal peace. And we shall see so clearly then how Jesus has done all things well. Thank you for listening, and God bless.
Thank you, sister, and amen to that. Amen. We all have had the attacks, of course, on our houses and our homes, spiritually and physically. I couldn't help this reminding me of that, last year? My wife woke me up at 8 o'clock in the morning. I was already awake, had already been in prayer for about 10 minutes, and she came in saying, tornadoes across the street. And we got all the kids down, of course, but it was a direct hit, if anything. I mean, it was just an F1. It was only like about 60 feet wide. But there was no damage to our home. Debris all around us, but no damage to the home. And so the Lord does protect. He does protect his children. Anyway, I guess I'm just going to turn this right over to Brother Rob for the communion service and the ordinance of humility.
Well, happy Sabbath, one and all. I'm glad to see you all here. What Christ has outlined to take place before the partaking of the grape juice and bread is dealing with foot washing, the ordinance of humility. And foot washing plays a very important part in preparation for communion. It brings the heart of each of the participants into a humble and submissive mood, allowing God's Spirit to lead and guide. Am I breaking up? Okay, I guess just to some. Sorry about that. We're getting quite a bit of rain out here, and I might break up occasionally due to the amount of rain falling. We've gotten over 5 inches of rain in about 3 days. But the ordinance of humility prepares the heart to be in the right condition to receive the blessings of the communion service. And for those who have the Bibles handy, if you turn to John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, and we'll be reading from verses 3 through 17. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth up from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now, why would Christ take the position of a servant and wash the feet of the disciples, who should have been the ones to wash each other's feet and Christ's feet? Why would Christ do that and then say the servant is not greater than his Lord? You can see that there was some problems taking place among the disciples, and Christ choosing to take the position of a servant and to wash each one of their feet was to teach them a lesson, was to bring them into a condition to be able to receive the blessings and to understand more of what Christ was soon going to go through for them. In Desire of Ages, on pages 643 through 651, Ellen White has a whole chapter dedicated to what was taking place. All right, hopefully that took care of the breaking up. I just want to read a few paragraphs here in Desire of Ages, dealing on what was taking place among the disciples as to why Christ would take this position of a servant. On page 643, it says, On this last evening with his disciples, Jesus had much to tell them. If they had been prepared to receive what he longed to impart, they would have been saved from heartbreaking anguish, from disappointment and unbelief. But Jesus saw that they could not bear what he had to say. As he looked into their faces, the words of warning and comfort were stayed upon his lips. Moments passed in silence. Jesus appeared to be waiting. The disciples were ill at ease. The sympathy and tenderness awakened by Christ's grief seemed to have passed away. His sorrowful words, pointing to his own suffering, had made little impression. The glances they cast upon each other told of jealousy and contention.
Yeah, they both left at the same time. I don't know if you noticed that. Lanky Legs left and then Holdfast left because they're both in the same house. They're using a satellite. And if it's raining, you know what happens with satellite. If it's heavy rain, you know. Ordinarily, it doesn't really bother it that bad. But so let's just give it a minute or two. It's just all these, this is annoying, I know, but it's just like earlier with the microphone problems. The devil's trying everything he can to try and stop what's going on. So, just give it a minute. He'll be back. Now, you guys are supposed to be having some strange weather up there on the West Coast. It's weird. A bunch of storms and so. He's saying when, too. He's like they're having a little difficulty getting back in. Yeah. I'm not sure about his bit rate. Mondo came up with a good suggestion that when they get back on, that Lanky Legs, they should all use one computer, you know, which is a problem. They have to run across, you know, their driveway in the rain. Because you know, if they use two computers, they're splitting the bandwidth. That could be, yeah. We started the whole service with prayer, but ordinarily we pray. Well, why don't we do that? Why don't we get on our knees? Hold on, let me lock the mic. Because yeah, I just handed it to Rob. I thought that he would pray for us. He just forgot. No biggie. Let's all get on our knees and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for prayer. We thank you for allowing us to step right into the throne room and share our requests with you. We thank you, of course, for blessing us with the Sabbath, forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness, and giving us this opportunity to come together and worship you. And Father, today is a kind of a special day for us. We are gathered together from around the world in the only way that we know how, because we're all so scattered around, but you have blessed us with the audio chat, so we're still able to gather together. And we're praying, Father, that you bless us with a way to have this communion. It seems the enemy has been attacking all throughout the Sabbath study, and now he's attacking to try and stop the communion service. Brother Rob is having a hard time getting back in, and the rain's coming down kind of heavy out there in California or Oregon area, and so it's difficult for him to speak. But we pray, Father, that you bless this situation, that you allow us to have this communion, that allow us to come closer to you, to prevent the enemy and cast him far and make him flee. We thank you for blessing us with this answer to prayer, and we thank you for this promise that you have given us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Okay, I see he's back in. So, okay, Lanky Legs, you guys are using two computers, and if your bandwidth is low because of the rain, you might want to shut off one of the computers and go together all in one room, because that way you'll double your bandwidth. So, go ahead, Rob.
Well, thank you, brother, and all for praying. What I was talking about before I got cut off was that the disciples, as they looked upon one another during this time that Christ was with him, this last evening before he was crucified, had jealousy and contention in their faces. And they were all trying to get the place that was closest to Christ, but there were only really two positions there. John had the right side and Judas had the left side. And so they were resentful about that, and in A Desire of Ages on page 644, it says that when the disciples entered the upper room, their hearts were full of resentful feelings. Judas pressed next to Christ on the left side, John was on the right. If there was a highest place, Judas was determined to have it. And so you can see that the contention that was building among the disciples was one of, I'm going to be the best disciple here. I'm going to be higher than the rest of you, and you're going to have to bow to me and take my orders, etc. So down a little farther it says, how was Christ to bring these poor souls where Satan would not gain over them a decided victory? How could he show that a mere profession of discipleship did not make them disciples or ensure them a place in his kingdom? How could he show that it is loving service, true humility, which constitutes real greatness? How is he to kindle love in their hearts and enable them to comprehend what he longed to tell them? So she goes on to say that it was customary before each supper meal to have a servant come and wash the dust and so on off the feet of the participants so that, you know, they could partake in cleanness, not have dirty feet. And so the disciples looked all around on one another, and they were waiting for the other person to take the position of a servant. So the disciples were looking upon one another, waiting for the other to get up and take this position of a servant. And so then she goes on to say that Christ got up and went over to where the basin was, and all the disciples were intently looking at him. They were watching him, seeing what he was going to do. And in horror, they saw Christ take off his outer garment, put on the garment of a servant, put a towel over his arm, and come with the basin of water towards the disciples. And who do you think was the first one that he washed the feet of? Yes, thank you, Lanky, for doing that. Who do you think was the first disciple that Christ washed the feet of? It was Judas. So Christ gave Judas, the one who he knew was going to betray him, the first option of humbling his heart and giving up his decision to betray Christ. And on page 650 of Desire of Ages, it says, "This ordinance of humility is Christ's appointed preparation for the sacramental service. While pride, variance, and strife for supremacy are cherished, the heart cannot enter into fellowship with Christ. We are not prepared to receive the communion of his body and his blood. Therefore, it was that Jesus appointed the memorial of his humiliation to be first observed." So the whole purpose of the ordinance of humility is so that our hearts can be prepared to receive the blessing of the communion service. Our hearts would be in the right position to recognize that Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father, the unfallen universe, are there with us to bless us in this upcoming communion service. And so, as this is so, when you get together in your little companies or the little places that you are, whether it's just a few people or many, the purpose of this is just not to wash the feet of your friend or maybe your brother or your sister, but it's to find the individual that the Spirit convicts your heart that you may have hurt by saying strong words to, or for those that it's just a family, perhaps the husband or the wife has said sharp unchristian words to one another. And that is the individual that you go to and ask to wash their feet. We don't want foot washing to become just a ceremony that you go through and then it's over. The purpose of foot washing is to rid sin out of our lives, to bring about a companionship and a harmonious uniting with one another in the same faith. And those who can partake in the foot washing is anyone, whether you're baptized or not. We do not recommend that young boys and young girls wash each other's feet. That's to avoid the appearance of evil. But brother can wash another brother, or sister can wash another sister. Couples, of course, can wash one another's feet, but this whole service is designed to humble our hearts and to bring about a situation in which brotherly and sisterly love and harmony and unity can take place, that is to prepare us for the upcoming communion service. So with this in mind, let us take the next 20 minutes to perform this important foot washing ceremony, and also give some time to get prepared for the grape juice and the bread in the communion service. And Sister Donna, if you are alone, then if you feel that it is okay, you can wash your own feet or just spend the time in prayer and heavenly thoughts in preparing your heart through confession and forsaking of sin for the communion service. So let us take the next 20 minutes in getting prepared for communion service through foot washing and such, and then we'll meet back here at 11:35. So may God, through His Holy Spirit, work upon each one of our hearts in preparing us for the next service. We still got about 2 minutes left, but for those that are completed with the foot washing and are going to partake of communion, please make sure that your grape juice and your bread is ready at hand. Okay, has everyone completed the foot washing that was participating in it? Nick, is you and the family okay there? You all finished? Okay, welcome back, beloved. This foot washing service was meant to be a heart searching, sin confessing period in which all of our sins were to be confessed and forsaken, that if there was hard feelings or hurt feelings between a brother and sister, that was all taken care of.
Let's give him a couple of minutes. He probably got knocked off the internet. He'll be back in a little bit.
Dear Father in heaven, we pray that you'll move in a positive way to help Brother Schiffler get back online. We say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah. Funny fellow there, Rick. You sent me a PM. My grape juice is fermenting. It's cute. It's not, you know, it's taken us a little time. We understand and we apologize, everybody. Rob just called. His satellite is down, so he's not getting in. Either Gary, Jim, or myself, I'd like to ask, you know, Gary, if you could finish it, you know, for the communion, because I understand you just got satellite, and we'd kind of like to find out whether or not your satellite is worthy so that we can have you preach here once in a while. But would you like to, can you, oh, you can't? Okay, good, thank you. All right, so Gary's going to take over from here, folks. Because Rob just called and he said there's nothing he can do. He can't get in. He's got, I guess, there's just way too much rain and his satellite is definitely down. He can't even get the website.
So. My satellite
is not working. Well, then he's using, okay, well then use your whatever you're using now, just let's see if we can use it. He's on dial-up. Okay.
Well, brother, Lord willing, we can continue on and may God add his blessing upon this service. Because it is a service that Satan doesn't like us to participate in, because Satan understands the service and the results of the service and our commitment to Christ during this time. Every once in a while you'll notice, because I'm on dial-up, I start breaking up. So to prevent that, every once in a while I will release my bubble and then press it again, hopefully right away. And sometimes that stops me from breaking up so bad, being on dial-up. So as I believe Brother Bob was talking as he got cut off, was the ordinance that we participated in the ordinance of humility, to washing each other's feet as far as possible for those of us who have others with us, and the forgiveness of our sins. We go forward now with that understanding and belief that God has given us forgiveness of sins. And with that, we go into the next part of the service with thanksgiving, not in sorrow, not in pain, but in thankfulness of heart, saying, thank you, Jesus, what you have done for us on the cross, showing us this experience that we can participate in to look forward to the time when Jesus is coming. And so as we continue, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we start with verse 23. This is Paul talking about the experience of the upper room of Christ introducing these ordinances that we're partaking of today. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. This is Paul talking. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Each one now, as far as possible, can partake of the bread. We'll take a few moments of silence as we chew and swallow our bread and for our time of thanking the Lord. And I'll be back in just a few moments. Is everyone finished with partaking of the bread now? Okay, reading on in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 25. In the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Shall we partake of the juice and remembering Christ's gift to us and our thankfulness for this gift, that we can live at such a time as this and be witnesses for him and how to do so and through his grace and the work of the Holy Spirit and the help of the holy angels, we can go forward together. Shall we partake of the juice? Yeah, reading on in verse 26, as brother has put up there, that for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. But in showing the Lord's death and his sacrifice for us, we also have been blessed with the resurrection and Jesus going to the holy place originally and now in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, pleading his blood in our behalf. And when I think about that and the joy that Jesus has put so much of his life for my salvation, it brings me very, I can't express my feelings and how I feel. And it is only by God's grace that you can understand this someday. So Jesus has given this service, like the service of baptism. He gave us as an outward sign of showing our relationship to him. So this service was also showing an outward relationship of our wanting Jesus as our Savior. We want to spend eternity with him and together. And by God's grace and with his help, God says that he would send every angel out of heaven if necessary to help protect those who are striving to do God's will. I mean, that's a lot of angels. But, you know, it's an encouragement to me when I read things like that. That, go forth. That, Jesus is the victor. He says, overcome as I overcame. The end of Revelation chapter 3. And how do we do that? We overcome the same way Christ did, by spending some time with his Father daily, sometimes more during the day than others. And, just as we think about that, not only for this very moment, but as we go on, I pray that it will not discourage us to say, oh, Lord, how can I make it? But is that by God's grace, or we'll go forward in His grace and with His blessings. And as we go forth, I pray that we can go forth together in unity, edifying each other, strengthening each other, counseling together. Oh, brethren, it is a unity that Christ prayed for just before the service there, and we read in John 17. And may we fulfill that prayer, that we can be part of God's true people in the end days. We can give the message, for now is the time, and together we can go forth, because Jesus has done all this for us, and we can say thank you. And in Matthew 26, verse 30, it tells us that before they went out, that they sung a hymn. And I don't want to put anyone on the spot now, but you pick a hymn for us back there in Indiana, and we can sing that hymn as our closing time.
Yes, we have picked Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And is it in the room, Frank?
I think so.
I hope so. Yeah, it is, number 85, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. For those of you that want to sing along, just click on that number 85. It'll pop up a separate window, won't knock you out of the room, and you can sing along with us. So, and then we'll close with this. We'll have prayer afterwards, of course. So.
Is that my God? That one right here?
That one is. They're all on, yeah. They're all on, including mine. I just got to shut mine off. Okay, Have Thine Own Way, number 85. You can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly and Precious Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with answered prayers. Thank you for so much mercy that you have upon us, loving us as a father loves his children. winking at our times of ignorance, forgiving us when we come to you asking for forgiveness, and teaching us that we have to ask. We thank you for cleansing us from unrighteousness and loving us as you love your own Son. Thank you so much for sending him to die for us so that we can be in heaven with you for all eternity. Thank you for giving us this work to do in these last days. Thank you for letting us be alive at this time. We also thank you for the trials and tribulations that help us grow closer to you. We pray for all of our loved ones, Father, that you bless them with this, with a faith that'll make them smile deep within and make you smile as well. We want to please you. So thank you for directing our paths, showing us where we're in trouble, and helping us to realize we need to repent. And for also guiding us into areas that glorify you, so that others may come to know your Son. Thank you for blessing us in this week ahead with answered prayer. Bless all those that are on our prayer list, especially the ones that are lost. We again lift up Chrissy, our sister in Christ, that you heal her. You do so that will glorify you and not mankind. We thank you again for all these things and for blessing us with this opportunity to come together in communion with you and your Son and your Spirit today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.